On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.
This is CSN's Redskins Talk. Here is your host, JP Finley.
What up, everybody? Redskins Talk Podcast is here. I am JP Finley. Today is the day. You guys are going to hear a very fun, informative, and hopefully a little bit more relaxed interview with Scott McLuhan. I know he's done some radio stuff all over locally with Grant Danny and then, Schefter's podcast, all sorts of stuff. I tried to get some different stuff from Scott and just kind of have fun. Scott's a really funny guy, and I've gotten to know him a little bit, so I wanted to let him, you know, show his personality a bit. I think you guys are really going to enjoy it. Before we get to Scott, we got to address the Phil Taylor situation. It's obviously bad news for the Redskins, and it's a sad situation for Phil. I mean, this is a guy that worked all the way back from 2 years of injuries, was looking good in camp, looked good in that first preseason game, and bang, the injury bug comes and gets him. I've heard some pretty bad reports on the muscle detaching from the bone, and it's just a sad story, especially Phil was, you know, he grew up 20 minutes from FedEx Field. He went to Gwynn Park High School. He was a huge Redskins fan as a kid. His father used to work at FedEx Field on game days. I mean, it was just such a cool, neat story, and to see it end this way is just so sad. As far as what do the Skins do next after Taylor, that's going to be pretty interesting. I think the most obvious candidates are going to be Ziggy Hood, who's played that position already and knows it, and then internally you got Joey Mabu and AJ Francis. Francis had that fumble recovery in the game the other night against the Bengals, and AJ likes playing the nose. Joey likes playing the nose. I think Ziggy likes playing the nose. A big part of playing nose tackle is attitude. Stacy McGee's another guy that has the size for it. I'm not sure he wants to play the nose. I think he'd rather be taking on guards and tackles and maybe flashing those gaps. There is no good answer for the Redskins. And some of this is, you know, when you're relying on guys that have significant injury history, you got to consider that could happen again. And it's a bummer for the Skins. It's bad news for this defense because now you got Taylor out for the year, Trent Murphy out for the year. And those are two guys. Trent Murphy, they were certainly relying on. Now, I mean, that ship has sailed. Ryan Anderson hasn't hardly played, the second-round rookie out of Alabama. Sua Cravens coming back from a knee injury. So this defense that we all expected to be better, to be improved anyway, is taking some lumps this preseason, and it's tough news. We're going to do a lot more on Taylor. Check out the website, CSM Mid-Atlantic. I'm writing about it. Taylor's writing about it. Or the next podcast will be Thursday night after the Skins-Bucks game. So check that out, and we'll kind of talk in depth about Taylor's possible replacements and the possibility that maybe the Redskins make a move when rosters go from 90 to 53. That's going to be pretty interesting. For now, better news. We're going to go to the Scott McLuhan interview. You guys are going to really enjoy this. Be sure to hit Scott up on Twitter once you get done listening to it and tell him what you think, and you can tell me what you think too. Enjoy. All right, here he is, Redskins fans, the GM in your hearts, Scott McLuhan. Scott, thank you so much for joining us, man. I really appreciate it. How are you doing?
I'm doing really good. You know, I'm staying really busy with football stuff, and, just living a good life. I mean, I, of course, I wish I was still rolling with the Skins, you know, but life goes on. But I'm doing good. I'm staying really busy.
It's good to hear. I think there are plenty of Skins fans that wish you were still here as well. You enjoying that clean mountain Colorado air?
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it.
None of this DMV humidity we've all been kind of suffering through this summer?
There's no humidity here whatsoever. It's just clear skies and mountains.
Very, very cool, man. So we've talked a lot over kind of the time you've been here, and even since you've been gone, you and I have been texting a fair amount. I think it's important to kind of let folks know what you're doing now, because I don't know that everybody understands kind of what they're just like, oh, Scott's scouting. But what you're doing is really pretty interesting, and it's kind of a new step of scouting, right?
Yeah, you know, the thing is, there's you know, probably quite a few companies out there. You know, I never got into those companies and read their reports or anything, but my thing's called instinctive scouting. In my year between Seattle and Washington, I did it that season. What it is, at that juncture, it was just NFL teams would hire me to be a consultant, and they'd send me 150 names, and I just watch tape and write reports. You know, it's not background, it's not, you know, any character or any medical stuff. It's just pure talent level. You know, strengths, weaknesses, a summary, best position, games watched, and I put a grade on them. And the grade is for the NFL, not for a specific team, which it's much easier to do that for the NFL because, you know, say a guy's a big guy that's pretty talented, but you know he's going to test well. You know, so you give him a better grade than you would possibly if I was one team and know the scheme they're in. But so I started that year, and then, of course, I was in Washington for two and a half years. And then I came back and started. I still had it in my name.
Right.
So I started up again, and there's so many avenues to take on if you want. So I started reaching out to agents, the big-time agents. And I'm like, listen, I'll charge so much per report. And you just send me names, and I'll watch tape and give you a whole report and a grade for you. You know, and the agents have taken off bigger in life because they're in the process right now of recruiting.
Right.
You know, and if all of a sudden, you know, they talk to other scouts too, of course. But I think my reputation helps me from the standpoint they know I'm an old BS guy and that I'm going to give them an honest opinion. You know, it could be right or wrong. You know, I've been wrong many times. But, yeah.
You've been right plenty too.
Yeah, well, the thing that's unique is, you know, I guess I got a couple of teams that already hired me, you know, for the fall. But it's unique because it's not just college stuff now. I got one team that wants to have me do the roster, you know, for the breakdown, you know, to 53.
Oh, go from 90 to 53?
Yeah.
Wow.
Just to help them.
That's it.
Yeah. And I've had a guy reach out that does high school camps for quarterbacks. And he wants to hire me from the standpoint, and listen, I'll send you, because they tape all the stuff at the camp, but then he wants to send me a highlight tape of the high school quarterback and give him my opinion to him so he sells them to colleges.
Wow.
That's, you know, so there's a lot of avenues.
A lot of avenues, and I'm guessing you are very, very busy, and so, again, we appreciate the time. Real quick, you're not going to tell me the names of the teams you're working for, huh?
No, all confidential.
I figured as much. One thing I wanted
to tell you this, though.
Yeah.
I can tell you this. It's close to the division. I'll tell you that much.
Okay. Very interesting. Very interesting. So it's probably in conference, if we had to guess, and then close to the division. So one thing I always find interesting, though, is that I don't know that everybody knows your best sport growing up was baseball, right?
Well, the thing about it, I was a really good football player, and I ended up having blown my knee out when I was in ninth grade, and ended up having five surgeries before 21. So what I did,
oh man,
yeah, but I played baseball. You know, I was an okay athlete, but yeah, I played baseball and went to college and went to two college World Series and played 3 years of minor league baseball. But I wasn't that good when I got to the pros, just so you know.
You were an MLB draft pick. I don't think you can say you were an okay athlete. I was an okay athlete. I played 1 year of varsity football. You were drafted by two major league organizations. That's a very, very good athlete.
That's
all right. All right. So let's talk a little bit about the Skins. And you've talked about all of the decisions you've made and what went right and what didn't and kind of the demise as things fell apart. But the couple of things I want to talk about are more big picture. So
With the skin, you were with some really, really good teams, and specifically, I'd point to the Packers teams you were with, and then those Seahawks teams you were with. What did those teams have that maybe this Redskins team doesn't have, and can the Redskins get there?
Yeah, the thing about it is, and I've already said this before, I was very lucky to be mentored by, you know, of course, my dad, first of all, growing up, but Ron Wolf. And you have to have a vision, and you have to have consistency. You know, there's going to be change with, you know, players. There's going to be change with coaches, you know, every year. But you just have to stay calm and stay the course. You know, and the thing about it is, when, you know, I say it all the time, you build through the draft. It's not just the most talented player, but it's the person you're drafting as well. So they come to the building, you know, you mold them to be, you know, say a Redskin, say, you know, a Seahawk, say a 49er, whatever. You mold them to let them understand it's about the sum of the parts. It's about the team. It's not about the individual. Now, it's great to hit on guys, you know, Pro Bowlers and all that, which you're going through the draft, but you still need to build through the draft and just stay consistent and understand there'll be good days and bad days, but you got the right core guys with the background and characteristics, they're going to stay together and fight for each other. That's so important.
Well, and does that become kind of the mentality in the locker room to stay together as well?
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
Well, and
that's huge.
And you've talked about you, so I'm guessing you liked the Redskins 2015 and 2016 drafts because you were pretty much in charge of those. And you've talked about that you liked the 2017 draft, and I know that it mostly was your draft board. You said there was one pick you didn't like this year. I'm guessing you're not going to tell me who, but can I guess what round?
No, I don't want to get in that.
Fair enough.
Well, it was something that I wasn't excited about, but that's just my opinion. You know, the guys in the room, you know, and the coaches together made a decision to make the pick, and that's what you do.
Gotcha. So, speaking of the coaches, you always spoke highly of Jay Gruden, and Jay always spoke highly of you, even after your ouster with the Skins. Jay told us in Arizona, I think, that he had texted you, he had reached out, and that he was really sad to see you go. I'm curious, what kind of makes your and Jay's relationship work, and why do you think he has such a bright future?
You know, the thing about it is, we come kind of like the same background. You know, he's been football all his life with his dad, you know, and his brother, and I'm the same way with my father and my brother. We've always been around it. And the thing that's cool about Jay, because, you know, I've been around a couple of different head coaches in my GM gigs, and Jay is all about football, but he works hard, but he'll listen, but we'll argue, which we did a lot, but in a good manner. You know, it's about personnel. You know, I never step in the coaching ring whatsoever. I never talked about X's and O's and anything like that. But him and I clicked because I think we have similar personalities where we're both kind of stubborn and hard-headed, but we're in it together. We understand it's not just about the individual, you know, so we have to work together. And you know, a lot of times we disagree on some draft picks, you know, and I don't bring him up, but he would lean on me when it was said and done, which I respected, you know, because he is the head coach and he's the one, and the coaches are going to have their hands on him every day. Once we draft him, I'm working on next year's crop already. You know, so it's just, he's got a great personality. He's a tough guy, and I respect that. And he's smart. He's really good offensive mind, and I think it's proven out.
He's also pretty damn funny. Did he ever drop a line on you that had you rolling?
We had many times. Don't worry. I get into some stories that would make you laugh so hard as mine funny. But, yeah, no, we hung out. Yeah, we hung. We'd go to dinner. You know, the wives got along really well, and you know, we had some pretty interesting things.
I can imagine. I imagine there were some fun times that you're not going to talk about on the podcast.
I can't.
Understandably. But, how long have you guys known each other, just kind of being in the football circles and such?
You know, you know what? I knew his dad the first, you know, from the get-go when I got in the league, which was, you know, 20-some years ago. And, you know, and he knew my father, you know, because they were both long-time, you know, personnel guys and all that. And then I knew John pretty good because John, you know, worked for the Raiders,
yep.
You know, and my dad and brother were both there. So I got to meet him and know him, you know, 4 or 5 years when he first got in the league with the Raiders. And then I never met Jay before,
Oh, wow.
Until I took the job. Yeah, until I did the interview and took the job. That's the first time I met him face to face.
That's funny in the small world of football, too.
Correct.
Well, let me ask you this. Sean McVay is gone now. How big of an impact will that have on the Redskins this fall?
You know what? I think it will, just because Sean's so good, and I think him and Jay work so well together for game planning. You know, it's tough because it's like me when I was in San Fran my first year in 05. You know, our OC was Mike McCarthy, who I knew before. And, you know, and to lose him really hurt.
Right.
You know, but you couldn't help it. He got a head coaching job, you know, in Green Bay. And then the next year it was Norv Turner was our OC. And we got along really well and we're doing good, you know, 9-7 and rock and rolling. Then he gets a head job in San Diego. So you can't stop that stuff. But
right.
it is an impact because I know Sean and Kirk were really tight and very, very seldom when they're not on the same page. Very seldom. You know, and there's respect between the two. And I think Sean never overstepped his boundaries because Jay was the head coach and Jay could trump him. But Sean was really good at play calling. I think you saw the numbers they put up the last 2 years. It was very impressive.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, the yardage, so big chunks of yardage all the time. So to that point, at least through the first two games, the Redskins offense, and I'm guessing you're watching the tape just between all your different scouting services, the first two preseason games have been ugly outings for the Redskins starting offense. I mean, there was no chance that Gruden wanted to be playing his starters the whole first half in that Packers game, and he did it because they could not move the ball. You are so experienced in the NFL life. Is the preseason real reason to worry?
Well, there's always reason to worry because you want to see success. You want to see production. You want to see guys come together. But also understand both sides of the ball, even special teams, you're not showing your hand. You're being vanilla and basic. But the thing that has kind of surprised me is the way the O-line's been playing, you know, because that's just man-to-man. You know, that's just – you know, I understand the quarterback and receivers and different receivers coming in and tight ends coming in and the timing and all that. But the one thing that's kind of surprised me is just the offensive line so far. But, you know, Coach Callahan will get it going, I promise you. And then they have talent, you know, they have some talent up front. So, you know, it's a concern from the standpoint that you want to have success and you want to get the atmosphere of winning, you know.
Yep.
But, I mean, if you go back and look at New England the last 10 years in their preseason games, look how many they lost compared to wins.
Sure.
You know? So, you know, but you want to see strides going forward, you know, and it'd be interesting, you know, this third game because they're going to get after it, you know, and it'd be interesting how these guys respond because, you know, the coaches are getting after them.
Yeah.
You know? So,
and I think to your point, the win-loss record in the preseason is not what matters because the bulk of those second halves, fourth quarters are being played by guys that probably won't make teams or at least have significant roles with teams. But you want to see your best teams perform, and that's what the Skins haven't had yet. I wanted to ask you.
But I'll tell you this. I wouldn't panic. With that quarterback and that coaching staff, and you know they have players now. You know, it's a tough division, I understand. But they have players. If they stay healthy, they're gonna compete now, I promise you.
So speaking of the players they have, I get asked all the time who's going to be the leading receiver for this team. I want to ask you because these are all your guys. I mean, I know you love Terrell Pryor. You weren't there when he signed, but that was I know that he was very high on your free agent board. Clearly you like Josh Doctson. Jameson Crowder's, I think of your Redskins tenure right now, Crowder's your best draft pick, just the value you got there. And then you still got Jordan Reed in the mix as well. So I'm curious how you think that all shifts out.
Well, it'd be interesting. You know, it's too bad with Josh not being able to play much last year at all. I mean, whatever, one game, he had a couple catches. But if he's healthy, he's going to be a really good football player. He's a big body guy. He's like Pryor. He's not as tall as Pryor, but he's more working the routes and possession type guy, but can make phenomenal catches and a really good athlete.
The body control on that guy is crazy.
Body control in the air. Yeah. Yeah. And I think you'll see the same thing with Pryor when said and done. He's such a good athlete, you know, of course, being the quarterback and then making the conversion, having 1,000 yards last year in Cleveland. That's hard to do unless you're talented, you know. But yeah, I love Crowder, you know, and he's always going to be there. He's always going to make a play, you know, for the value of that pick was really cool. You know, so, you know, it's a good group. I love Jordan, you know, and he's got to stay healthy.
Yep.
You know, he's really, really talented. I've been around some good tight ends, and he's one of the best I've been around. You know, even Vernon Davis.
Sure.
You know, and then, you know, with the backs, you know, hopefully they figured out how and who to play, you know, and I'm sure they have already, you know, but it's a talented offense. It really is. And the O-line should be good, should be more improved than last year. And, you know, last year, that was a dang good group.
What do you think the injury to Spencer Long? I know it's just a quick scope and it should only take two weeks, but do you think that can have an effect on the season?
Well, the thing about it is, you know, because him and Kirk were going so good together and they get used to each other, you know, and, you know, it's a negative from the get-go, but like you said, it's a scope, and knowing him, how tough he is, he'll be back quick. He'll be out there playing. It's not going to be a long-term thing.
Well, and he played through some stuff last year that I'm not sure all the fans and stuff know, even though he missed a couple games. I mean, he was playing hurt pretty good. But, Scott, your time in D.C. must have trained you well, because you gave me a political answer there on the receivers without giving me an answer. Who's going to lead the team in receiving yards, man?
I'm saying if Dawson's healthy, it's going to be him. You know, Crowder's going to have his multiple catch games, you know, and, you know, he's not a burner, though. You know, he's going to catch it, you know, but he's going to make his plays. But that's the thing about it. All three of them, in four of them, five of them, you know, the two tight ends, they're going to make plays.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and the thing with Pryor and Doxson, Pryor's sneaky because he can run. He's just a long-legged guy, and it takes him a little time to get up to speed. You know, but he can run once he gets going, you know, and so can Doxson. But they're not like, you know, like Crowder, where they're quick twitch, top speed right away.
Right.
You know, but it's a good group. I'm telling you, and with Kirk getting the ball out quick and all that, and the offense, and them being comfortable in the offense, they had a chance to put up big-time numbers. Now, does that mean wins? Defense got to do what they got to do. Teams got to do what they got to do. You know, but I know if you're a defense coordinator and right now, and the guys, are all the 11 starters are healthy on offense, You're losing sleep at night, you know. And it's tough to lose D-Jack and Pierre, but that's what happens in this business, you know. There's change all the time, and you just have to adjust.
Well, let me ask you this, because you brought those guys up. Now, this is assuming health, right? And that's the biggest question mark around throughout the NFL. But assuming health, do you think the 2017 receiving core with Doxson, Pryor, Crowder can be better than 2016 with Crowder, Garcon, Deshaun?
Well, the thing about it is it's a different kind of match. The one guy, if I was still there, I would never let go, would be Pierre. Because what he brought, not just from a toughness standpoint and production standpoint, but the leadership he brought, you know, not just on the field, but during the off season, you know, in the weight room, you know, in meeting room, you know, he was highly, highly respected, you know. And, of course, D-Jack was very unique because he could just fly, you know. But this group, it's going to be interesting because I don't know Pryor that well as a person. You know, I know Doxson very well. Of course, I know Crowder very well. I know Jordan very well. I know Vernon very well. But, you know, it depends how Pryor, if he's not getting fed the ball, if it's going to bother him, because I know he's on a one-year deal, would that be a disruption to the team? Because it's all about the team.
Yep.
Crowder's never going to be a disruption. Doxson's never going to be a disruption. Jordan's never going to be one. Vernon's never going to be one. The backs aren't going to be one. So it just depends. If the guy you bring in from the outside and you expect a lot out of him, and like I said, the athleticism and the ability to play football is there, but it's also the other package. What kind of person is he? You know, what's going to happen when you lose two in a row? Is he going to start pointing fingers and talking about the quarterback, you know, and that kind of stuff, which those other guys won't. And that's when you start building something strong, when they won't, because they understand, okay, we lost. It's not one guy's fault. It's everybody's fault. We got to find a way to get better. You know, so that's unique because with Pierre, He was never a problem, you know, and he's just a stud.
Yeah, and I mean, Pierre was not a dude you messed with. There are guys in the locker room I can go and joke around with. Pierre was not really that guy.
No, not at all. He's all business. I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Pryor got his locker. I don't know if you've been in there since they assigned the lockers, but I always find it interesting. Pryor got his locker. Yeah. Zach Brown got Deshaun's locker. And there's not that much other kind of mix-ups that I've noticed since.
Yeah. But like I said, it's a good team. If they stay healthy, they're not going to win every game, of course, and they might not win the division or get in the playoffs. But they're going to have – if they stay healthy, they'll compete each week, and they will fight teams to the end.
You know more football than me. My prediction for this team has been about 7-9, and if things break right, they got a chance to compete for a wild card berth late in the year, much like last year. I'm curious if you think I'm way off or if that sounds about right.
Well, you know what? I mean, from the talent standpoint, it's right. You know, all the injury stuff will play into it, of course. You know, but I tell you what, it's a tough schedule now.
Big time.
You know, going to West Coast, you know, playing 3 games out there, and, you know, of course, in the division, it's gotten much better, you know, and then, you know, you're playing Raider, you beat AFC. I mean, it's tough. It's really tough. So you need to have your A game.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's going to be a battle each week.
You think the Cowboys might fall back a little bit with – to me, what's going untalked about down there is that they lost 2 linemen on that O-line. That was such a strength of the team.
Yeah, it's still strong. It's a strong suit.
Yep.
I'm very impressed with the quarterback. Very impressed.
He can play, you know, man. Dak's a player.
Yeah. Yeah, well, anyway, with Ezekiel, if he does miss 6, that's going to be tough because he's a really good back.
Yeah.
But the thing about it – they're still going to win some games. They got really good coaching staff, you know, and they have the culture there now that they expect to win from last year, you know, winning 13. And, you know, the Giants are going to be legit, although I was watching them the other day and the O-line struggling, but it's, again, so is the Redskins O-line.
Yep. Giants haven't scored a touchdown in the preseason, or at least they haven't through 2 games.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, in Philly. Philly's gotten better.
They look good, you know, against the Dolphins.
Yeah.
At least Wentz did.
Yeah. Well, the thing about it, the really cool about the division is the fact that you got 2 young quarterbacks that are going to be mainstays for a long time and be good players.
Agreed. All right. So you are being generous with your time, and we appreciate it. And one of the things I think that is so cool about your new Twitter persona is that you're just answering questions all the time, and it's really – it's funny. I get a kick out of it. I know other folks in the media, we will laugh about some of the stuff you get asked. So we'll close this out. We'll do a bit of a speed round where I promise I won't ask any follow-ups, and we'll just pretend this is Twitter, and these are coming in from different people on Twitter.
Okay.
So you were one of the few – front office guys that like to watch the games, especially the end of games, from the sideline. Why'd you like it down there?
Just because you get a feel for the culture down there, the emotion, and I love being around the guys, and I want that to let them know how important it is to me.
Okay. When you were with the Skins, so the 2 full seasons here, what was your favorite moment?
Winning the division. That's huge.
So that game in Philly?
Yeah.
That must have been a fun plane ride home.
Oh, yeah.
All right, I promise no follow-up questions, though, so sorry.
No, it's all right.
All right, now we're getting a little weirder here. Taylor Swift is involved with some beef between Kanye, Kim Kardashian, and Katy Perry. Are you on Team Taylor or Team everybody else?
I really don't even know who those people are, to tell you the truth. Whoever the best-looking girl is, I'd be on that side.
All right, fair enough. We'll leave that for the listener's imagination. Your famous khaki suit, which was a very nice, I think it was Canali, wasn't it, that suit?
I don't know.
Do you miss your suit?
No, I don't. You know, the good thing about it was it went to charity, and that was awesome, you know, because – I have lots of suits, but that was the first suit I ever got in San Francisco. You know, and the head coach bought it for me. He took me to Nordstrom's and had me measured, which I've never been measured or anything. And I'm like, what the heck's going on here? And I got the suit, and I kept it. So
one of my favorite moments with you was last year on the sideline. It was freezing cold, and you didn't have a jacket on. And I said something. I was like, dude, you got to put a coat on. You're like, you sound like my wife. She's always telling me to put a coat on.
She is. To this day, she does the same thing. You have to wear a jacket. I said, no, I'm not cool. I don't wear them.
All right. So you don't miss the suit. I have a feeling on this one. I have a hunch on this one. Do you miss the camouflage hat that you also auctioned off for charity?
No, again, no, because it's charity. You know, I have lots of hats, different hats, but no, I like that hat a lot, though. It was always with me in training camp and, you know, practices, and it was a cool hat. But yeah, no, I don't. From standpoint, it went to good support.
Gotcha. All right. There was a big baseball fight the other night. The Yankees and the Tigers got into it. What sport has the best fights?
Whew. I mean, like during a regular game, it's got to be baseball. Unless it's back in the days with Bill Laimbeer and the Pistons and Rodman and those cats, you know. But in football, you don't see many fights just because.
Well, guys,
you know,
have helmets, too.
Yeah. But, you know, and of course, during training camp and practices, you'll see some skirmishes here and there. But, you know, that baseball fight was a good fight. I've been in some of those. It's a melee.
So have you ever charged the mound?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes, I did.
When you charge the mound, you can't stop. You just got to keep going.
No doubt. Because the way you're taught in baseball is first baseman, third baseman, if a guy's going to charge, they're supposed to come sprinting and get in front of the pitcher. You know?
Right.
So if you're going to go, you got to go quick. And I went quick, and this was a big pitcher, too. And I got him pretty good, but then it's a melee, you know?
Right.
Then this guy swing and hit their own teammates, and they don't mean to.
what level of baseball was this?
Well, the big guy was when I was in college.
Oh, wow. At Wichita?
Yeah, Wichita State, yeah. In minor league baseball, I never got into a brawl.
Gotcha.
Never did. No, it was college.
That was great information, but your answer was incorrect. The best sport fights are hockey. They're the best.
Well, yeah.
But that's also kind of different because it's like part of the game.
Oh, it is part of the game no matter what. If you don't do it, you're not going to be around.
Right.
Yeah, no, you're right. Hockey is incredible. I love it, too. I love watching it live.
Yeah, because I think you went to some Caps games with Schuster, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Oh.
There's Schuster's plug.
Yeah, Eric Schuster, my man.
Yeah, man. Great dude. All right, so I got three left, and there's really no wrong answer on any of these. Kyrie recently demanded, or however you want to phrase it, demanded the trade from Cleveland to get away from LeBron. Are you crazy to want to get away from LeBron?
No. I mean, yes, you are. If you want to have a chance, make sure you're going to have a chance to win the championship. You know, and they did together. I think there's more going on there. You know, between the two, then people know, you
yep.
know, and
seems
Kyrie's
like
a stud, LeBron's a stud. But yeah, there's something to ask that. It's kind of crazy in my opinion.
I just finished an awesome book called Showtime about the 80s Lakers. And mm-hmm. you were a kid in California at that time. Are you a Bird guy or a Magic guy?
Bird, through and through. Because my dad was a huge Celtics fan, so growing up, we always watched the Celtics.
All right, this is our last one, and this doesn't have to be football. It can be any sport. What's your favorite stadium?
Probably CenturyLink out in Seattle.
That's loud.
Oh, beyond loud. They do it right, and the fans are great. The fans, they'll cheer for their team if things are going on, if the guy's hurt. And it's always packed, and it's the atmosphere is incredible.
What about you? Do you have to pick between Fenway and Wrigley?
You know what? I've never been to either one.
Really?
I've driven by Fenway, and you know, the good story is because I was leaving from a school call and I was going back to the airport, and I was lost, you know, downtown Boston, and all of a sudden I look up and I see the Green Monster right next to me, and there's a policeman standing there, you know, so I rolled the window down, and I said, Can you help me? Can you try to get me to the airport? And I can't say the word he said to me, but started from the F. He said, F you. I'm like, okay, this is Boston for you, I guess. Yeah, you know, but and I have been to Wrigley. I'm going to get there eventually, but yeah, I haven't been either one.
That is the perfect story for us to get out on. I pick Fenway, but I've never dealt with a cop and had that exchange. So
I think heard my little bit of my accent. You know, I got a little Southern accent to me, and he knew I wasn't from there.
Yeah,
I'm like, okay, thanks.
That's wild, man. Thank you for your help, officer.
Yeah, thank you.
Scott, I can't thank you enough, man. This was a blast. Maybe we can do it again later on this season. I will I'll keep bugging you on text messages, and I hope all the scouting stuff goes really well.
Thank you very much, JP. I appreciate it. Anytime.
Thanks very much, man. Say hi to Jess and take care.
I will. Have a good day.
Well, plenty of nuggets in there from Scott McLuhan. How about him saying he wouldn't have let Garcon go? And it's pretty interesting that he thinks Doxson will be the leading receiver, especially I think if Doxson can go, he's going to be great. But until we see Doxson go, those questions are starting to mount as well. I got a kick out of Scott telling the story of charging the mound. I thought that's pretty sweet. You don't get to hear stories like that all that often. I hope you guys enjoyed that. Let me know what you think. Be sure that you are subscribing to the podcast and leaving us reviews. They are very important, especially if you like it. If you hate it, I guess you can leave a review, but maybe just lie and say you like it. I'd appreciate that. Thank you guys for listening. A whole lot more stuff coming out. We're going to be reacting to Phil Taylor and following all the news as it comes out. Redskins practice Tuesday, and then the game, the fourth preseason game Thursday night, and there's going to be a lot to be determined. Appreciate you listening. If you made it this far, I owe you a beer.
I owe you a beer.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.